الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأسأل الله أن يرزقنا حسن النية وحسن الختام. I ask Allah to grant us all the sincere intentions. كنا بدأنا الكلام في الحصة الماضية عن أركان الصلاة، نكمل الآن الكلام في هذا الباب. If you remember, in the past session we started talking about the integrals of prayer. Inshallah, now we are going to continue what we were saying. قال المؤلف الرابع قراءة. ذكرنا النية والتكبير والقيام مع القدرة. We mentioned making the intention, saying the opening Allahu Akbar, and to stand if one is able. قال المؤلف الرابع قراءة الفاتحة بالبسملة والتشديدات، ويشترط موالاتها وترتيبها وإخراج الحروف من مخارجها. The fourth integral is to recite the Fatiha, including the Basmala, and doubling the letters that must be doubled in order and succession without lengthy interruption, and articulating its letters properly. هذه الجملة ما ذكره هنا يتعلق بالركن الرابع من أركان الصلاة التي هي قراءة الفاتحة. What the author mentioned is in relation to the fourth integral among the integrals of the prayer, which is to recite Al-Fatiha. وهي فرض على الإمام والمأموم والمنفرد. It is an obligation to recite Al-Fatiha, whether one is an Imam or led by an in the prayer by another one, a ma'mum, or praying alone. لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب, which means the one who does not recite the Fatiha in the prayer, his prayer is invalid. هذا الحديث رواه البخاري. This hadith is narrated by البخاري. ولذلك قال الإمام الشافعي لا بد من قراءة الفاتحة في الصلاة للمأموم كما للإمام كما للمنفرد. This is why Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i said the one who's praying has to recite Al-Fatiha whether one is an Imam, a follower, or praying alone.
Thank you.
وأما الأئمة الثلاثة أبو حنيفة ومالك وأحمد فقالوا قراءة الإمام قراءة للمأموم، فعندهم المأموم لا يجب عليه قراءة الفاتحة. As for the three imams, Abu Hanifa, Malik and Ahmad, according to them, the follower does not have to recite Al-Fatiha in the prayer. The recitation of the imam stands as if it is the recitation of the follower. That is, the recitation of imam is enough for the validity of the prayer of the follower. ثم الفاتحة سبع آيات، الفاتحة contains seven verses، والبسملة آية منها. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم is a verse among the verses of الفاتحة. فمن قرأ الفاتحة من غير البسملة لم تصح قراءته للفاتحة. If someone recites الفاتحة without البسملة, without بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, his recitation is invalid. ثم الفاتحة فيها تشديدات. Also, there are letters that are doubled in Al-Fatiha. Malik Yawm al-Din. Al-Dal Mushaddada. 14 tashdida. For example, Malik Yawm al-Din. The sound Da or D. مالك يوم الدين is doubled. There are 14 14 شدة 14 positions in الفاتحة that are doubled. It's the best. It's okay. That one needs to observe when reciting Al-Fatiha. فإن ترك تشديد من التشديدات لم تصح قراءته. If one leaves out doubling one of those positions, his recitation is invalid. إلا إن أعادها على الصواب. Except if he repeats that word properly. أما لو شدد مخففا فتصح صلاته. Now, if he doubles a position which is not doubled originally, his prayer, his recitation is valid. مثال ذلك مثال يعني فساد القراءة بترك التشديد إذا قرأ إياك نعبد بدل إياك. Another example how one's recitation would be invalid if he does not double the letter properly is if one recites إياك نعبد instead of إياك. If he says إياك instead of إياك, in this case the recitation is invalid. ثم هنا في هذا الموضع ترك التشديد يغير المعنى. Moreover, in this position, leaving out, doubling the letter perverts the meaning, changes the meaning. الإية في لغة العرب معناها شعاع الشمس. إية in the Arabic language means the sunlight. So إياك نعبد would mean we worship your sunlight. Which is kufr. So if someone knows the meaning and he says it voluntarily, one blasphemes by that. أيضا يجب في الفاتحة مراعاة موالاتها. Also it is an obligation when reciting الفاتحة to recite it without lengthy separation between one verse and another. Or let me say, with the same succession as, without lengthy separation between one verse and another. Correct. فلو فصل بين آية وأخرى بفاصل طويل بطلت القراءة. So if one separates between one verse and another with a long separation, the recitation of Fatiha is invalidated. لو فصل بين آية وأخرى بسكوت أكثر من سكتة التنفس بطلت القراءة. So if he gets silent between two verses for more than what usually for which the one who gets silent wouldn't be considered that he is he wouldn't be considered to separate the following statement from the statement which is before it. يعني the people they talk usually, and while they talk they stop between one statement and another. The person who's talking stops, takes a breath, stops for a period of time, a short period of time, in a way that he is considered by the norm that he is continuing what he was saying. So if one stops for that period of time while reciting Al-Fatiha, this does not affect the succession of the verses. If one stops for more than that, then this affects the succession of the verses. يعني it does not mean the time needed only to take a breath. It does not mean that. سكتة التنفس ليس معناها مجرد الوقت لأخذ نفس. المقصود أن لا يسكت مدة تنقطع بها القراءة في العادة. يعد أن الكلام انقطع في العادة بهذا السكوت. هذا هو المقصود. بعرف الناس بحسب طريقة كلامه في عرف الناس هذا السكوت لا يعد فاصلا. هذا المقصود. So as we said, when one is talking, he gets some rests, isn't it? Without considering that his statement, the statement that he says it after this rest, after this rest is cut off from the statement which is before it. It's not considered that it is separated. So if one stops for such a period of time while reciting Al-Fatiha, this does not affect his recitation. If one stops for more than that, this affects the recitation. أما إن كان لعذر الفصل فطال أكثر من ذلك فلا يؤثر. كأن كان لسعال أو ما شابه ذلك فلا يؤثر. Now if one stops for more than that period because an excuse, like if one was coughing, if one is coughing, in this case, this does not interrupt his recitation. The recitation is still considered valid. ويفهم مما تقدم أنه لو ذكر في أثناء قراءة الفاتحة بطلت قراءته. لو أتى بذكر آخر غيرها بطلت قراءته. It is understood from what was said that if one makes a ذكر other than الفاتحة, other than reciting الفاتحة, while reciting it, if one interrupts reciting Al-Fatiha by making another dhikr, this invalidates his recitation. He needs to repeat it, to repeat the recitation from the beginning. مثلا واحد قرأ وصل إلى مالك يوم الدين ثم قال سبحان الله. هنا عليه أن يرجع إلى قراءة الفاتحة من الأول. For example, someone gets to Maliki Yawmi Ddin, he recites Maliki Yawmi Ddin, and then he says Subhanallah. In this case, the recitation is interrupted. He needs to go back to the beginning to repeat the recitation of Fatiha from the beginning. إلا أن يسن فيها الذكر لمصلحتها كالتأمين لقراءة إمامه. Except if it is required to say this dhikr at that time, then it does not interrupt Al-Fatiha. Like if one says Ameen when the Imam finished Al-Fatiha, which means the Imam is reciting and the follower, for one reason or another, starts reciting before the Imam finishes his recitation. The follower gets to Maliki Yawm al-Din, and at that point the Imam ends Al-Fatiha. He wants to say Ameen. In this case, if the follower says Ameen to say it with the Imam, he can continue from there. This does not consider interrupting the recitation of Al-Fatiha, because it is recommended to say Ameen with the Imam when he finished. So at that point it is recommended to say that. In this case, this does not interrupt the recitation of Al-Fatiha. أو أنهى الإمام قراءة والتين فقال المأموم بلى وأنا على ذلك من الشاهدين. لا تنقطع قراءته، يقولها ثم يكمل من حيث وصل. Another example: if the Imam finished reciting Surah At-Tin, and when he does that, the Ma'moom says بلى وأنا على ذلك من الشاهدين, which is recommended for one to say it at the end of this surah, when one ends the recitation of that surah. So if the follower says it, he can continue from where he's, and if he's reciting Al-Fatiha and then he says that, he can continue from where he stopped. He does not have to go back to the beginning. This does not invalidate his recitation. ويجب ترتيب الفاتحة أيضا بأن يأتي بها على نظمها المعروف. Also, it is an obligation when reciting Al-Fatiha to recite it according to the way it is written in Al-Quran, according to the way it was revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, in the same order. فإذا قرأ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين الحمد لله رب العالمين لم تصح قراءته. So if he says, for example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, his recitation is not valid because he did not observe the order. وَلَا بُدَّ فِيهَا مِنْ إِخْرَاجِ الْحُرُوفِ مِنْ مَخَارِجِهَا. Also, one needs to take care when reciting Al-Fatiha to pronounce the letters properly. To pronounce the letters properly from their exits, observing their characteristics. فإذا قرأ مثلا إذا قال صراط إذا قرأ الذين بدل الذين لم تصح قراءته. So if someone recites الذين instead of الذين, so he recites with ذا instead of ذا, his recitation is invalid. كذلك لو قرأ الصراط بالسين، لو قرأ الصراط لا هي بالسين الخالصة ولا هي بالصاد الخالصة. Likewise, if he pronounces الصراط not as a صاد and not as a سين, like another, a letter different from both, in between, his recitation is not valid in this case. وكثير من الناس لا يتقنون مخارج الحروف. A lot among the people do not observe the proper recitation when they recite Al-Fatiha. A lot, they do not pronounce the letters from their exits properly. قال المؤلف: وعدم اللحن المخل بالمعنى كضم تاء أنعمت، ويحرم اللحن الذي لم يخل ولا يبطل. The author said, avoiding the error which breaches the meaning, such as saying أنعمت instead of أنعمت. It is prohibited to commit an error which does not breach the meaning. However, it does not invalidate the prayer. شرح ذلك أنه من شروط الفاتحة ألا يأتي الشخص بلحن يخل بالمعنى. هلا الإخلال بالمعنى قد يكون بتغيير المعنى وقد يكون مع عدم تغيير المعنى، قد يكون بتغيير المعنى، قد يكون بإبطاله، قد يكون مع عدم التغيير وعدم الإبطال. لحظة، عم نحكي المخل بالمعنى ما هيك؟ لكن من عيد العبارة، اللحن المخل بالمعنى قد يكون مع إبطال المعنى أو مع تغييره، وفي الحالين هذا اللحن المخل بالمعنى مبطل للقراءة. كأن قال شخص صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم بدل أنعمت عليهم، فإن صلاته تبطل بذلك. لكن لو سبق لسانه فأعادها على الصواب لا تبطل. It is a condition when reciting Al-Fatiha not to make an error in the recitation that changes the meaning or annihilates the meaning. So if someone says صراط الذين أنعمت instead of أنعمت, such an error changes the meaning. This means, an'amtu means I endowed. An'amta means you endowed upon. So if someone says an'amtu instead of an'amta, he is changing the meaning. This is an error that changes the meaning. In this case, his recitation is invalidated. Except if this occurs like a slip of the tongue and he repeats it properly, then the recitation is still valid. ومثال اللحن المبطل للمعنى أن يقول صراط الذين بالزاي بدل الذين بالذال. An example for the error that annihilates the meaning, it annihilates it, it cancels it, is to say الذين instead of الذين. Al-lazina does not have any meaning in the Arabic language. And many people, when they recite Al-Fatiha, they say Al-lazina instead of Al-lazina. And such recitation is invalid. It is not correct. أَمَّا اللَّحْنُ الَّذِي لَا يُخِلُّ بِالْمَعْنَى فَيَحْرُمْ لَكِنْ لَا يُبْطِلُ الْقِرَاءَةِ. If someone makes an error that does not change the meaning, he is sinful for that, but his recitation is still valid. كأن يقول إياك نعبد بدل نعبد. Like to say نعبد instead of نعبد. لأن هذا لا يغير المعنى لكنه لحن. Because this does not change the meaning, but it is an error. قال المؤلف الخامس ركوع بأن ينحني بحيث تنال راحتاه ركبتيه. The fifth integral is to bow until one's palms can reach one's knees. شرح ذلك أن الركن الخامس هو الركوع ويحصل بأن ينحني بحيث لو أراد أن يضع راحتيه على ركبتيه لاستطاع. The fifth integral is to bow in a way that if one wants to put his palms on his knees, he can do that. If he bows to that extent, then this is considered a valid ركوع. ولا يشترط وضع الراحتين على الركبتين. It is not a condition for the validity of ركوع to put the palms on the knees. الشرط أن يكون قادرا على وضعهما أن ينال الركبتين لو أراد. The condition is for the two palms, for him to be able, for the two palms to reach his knees if he wanted. هلا أحسن أخذ ركبتين باليدين لا شك. Of course it is better to put the palms on the knees. لكن كلامنا في أصل الصحة. We are talking about the validity. فلو كان الشخص قصير اليد بالنسبة لمثله يده تعد قصيرة هنا ينظر يكون ركوعه بحيث تنال راحتاه ركبتيه لو كانت يداه معتدلتين. الحد المجزئ لوقوعه يكون أن ينحني بحيث تنال راحتاه ركبتيه لو كانت يداه معتدلتين، وكذا لو كانت يداه طويلتين. Now if someone has short hands or short palms or long hands or long palms, the valid ruku' for him is to bow in a way that if his hands were of normal length, يعني depending on one's size. So if the valid ruku' is for him to bow in a way that his palms reach his knees if his hands were normal. ويشترط أن يكون هذا الانحناء بلا انخناس، أي من غير ثني الركبتين كثيرا. So it is for bowing, for a ruku' to be valid, one needs to reach his knees with his palms without bending a lot. Without bending the knees a lot. Bending a little bit, it does not affect. It's okay. ولا بد لصحة ركوعه أن يتأكد من أنه بلغ هذا الحد. One has to be sure that he is bowing up till that limit for his ruku' to be valid. فإن شك في بلوغه هذا الحد لم يصح ركوعه. If one doubts, if he bows in a way that he doubts, do my palms reach my knees or not? This is not a valid ruku'. He needs to be sure that he is bowing up till the limit that his palms reach his knees, of course, except if his hands and palms are of the normal length. السادس الطمأنينة فيه بقدر سبحان الله، وهي سكون كل عظم مكانه دفعة واحدة. The sixth integral is to remain motionless in ruku' for the duration of saying سبحان الله. يعني لا بد أن تسكن عظامه كل عظم في مكانه لحظة. So his bones has to be in the state of stillness. Each bone at its place in a ruku' for at least the duration of Subhanallah, for a moment. السابع الاعتدال. So what some people do, that they go to a ruku' without waiting at all at a ruku' for a moment without moving. They do like this. They go to a ruku' and they get up like this. The ruku' is invalid. One goes to a ruku', he waits for a moment, at least for a moment. Now to apply a sunnah, he says Subhanallah several times. But for the validity, at least he needs to wait for a moment. What some people do, they go like that. This is not valid. This is not a valid ruku'. I'm sure you saw many people doing that. I'm sure. السابع الاعتدال بأن ينتصب بعد ركوع قائما والثامن الطمأنينة فيه. The seventh integral is to straighten up after a ruku' and the eighth to remain motionless in al-i'tidal for the duration of saying Subhanallah. بعد الركوع لا بد من الرفع والاعتدال، هذا هو الركن السابع. أن يرجع الشخص إلى الحال التي كان عليها قبل الركوع. والركن الثامن أن يبقى ساكنا بقدر لحظة. After making a ruku, the seventh integral is for one to get back to the same position that he had before making a ruku'. And the eighth integral is to remain motionless for a moment in that position. Now saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ is sunnah. When he starts going up, he starts with saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ. When he starts going up, he starts with it. So when he is straight, he would get at the end of it, at حَمِدَهُ. Then he says, Rabbana laka alhamd, or Rabbana wa laka alhamd, of course. As a sunnah. Again, I think you saw people after a ruku' going up like that, and they don't wait even for a moment. They go like this.
التاسع السجود مرتين بأن يضع جبهته كلها أو بعضها على مصلاه، على مكان الصلاة يعني، مكشوفة ومتثاقلا بها ومنكسا، أي يجعل أسافله أعلى من أعاليه. The ninth integral is to prostrate to perform sujood twice by putting all or part of one's uncovered forehead on one's praying ground, with one's lower body, buttocks, higher than one's upper part, and putting part of one's knees, the inside of one's hands, and the bottom of one's toes on the ground. A non-Shafi'i scholar said that the prayer is valid even if the head was higher in sujood than the buttocks.
شرح ذلك أن ركن التاسع هو السجود مرتين. The explanation, the ninth integral is to prostrate twice.
لابد في السجود من أن يكون على سبعة أعضاء.
Prostration has to be by putting on the ground seven different members, organs.
الجبهة, the forehead, باطن الكفين, the two inner parts of the hands, الركبتين, the knees, وباطن أصابع القدمين, and the inner parts of or some of the inner parts of the toes of the two feet.
إذا نقص واحد من هذه السبعة لا يصح السجود.
So if one of those seven organs was not put on the ground, the sujood is invalid.
مثلا واحد
سجد ولم يضع باطن أصابع قدميه بل وضع رؤوس أصابع قدميه على الأرض. For example, if one makes a sujood and he put the tip of his toes on the ground, not the inner part of his toes, the tip of this of his toes on the ground, such sujood is invalid. Or if he puts one hand, the inner part of one hand, and the other hand he doesn't put it, or he leaves it like that on the ground, this is not a valid sujood. It has to be on the seven different parts.
ومن شروطه أن تكون الجبهة مكشوفة. Among the conditions of the validity of sujood is for the forehead to be uncovered.
أو على الأقل الجزء الذي جزء منها يلامس الأرض موضع السجود.
Or at least one part of it that touches the praying ground.
ومن شروطه أن يكون منكسا أي أن أسافله أعلى من أعاليه.
Among the conditions for the validity of sujood is for the lower part of the body to be higher than the upper part of the body when making a sujood.
If they were even, or the lower part lower than the upper part, then the sujood is invalid.
ومن شروطه أن يكون متثاقلا. بجبهته معناه لا يسجد رافعا ثقل رأسه عن الأرض عن مكان السجود، إنما يتثاقل بجبهته على موضع سجوده، بحيث لو كان تحت جبهته قطن لظهر أثر السجود على يده لو فرضت تحت القطن، لكان ظهر الأثر على يده لو فرضت تحت القطن. لو كان يسجد على قطن ويده تحته لكان ظهر أثر السجود على اليد. هذا معنى متثاقلا، ليس رافعا لثقل رأسه عن الأرض.
Also among the conditions of a sujood is for one to leave the
if you want. Among the conditions of a sujood is to leave the weight of his head rest on the floor, so he does not lift his head from the floor, or he does not lift the weight of the head, if you want, from the floor. You can estimate that by, يعني how is that known? The weight of the head would be rested on the floor if it is in a way that if there were cotton underneath it, if one was making a sujood on cotton and underneath the cotton was one's hand, then the cotton would be pressed, and the trace, the effect of the weight of the head appears on one's hand. The weight of the head affects one's hand.
feels, one feels the weight on his hand. The trace appears on the hand. In this case, the weight of the head would be rested on the floor. So when one makes sujood, he needs to do that. It leaves an impression on his hand, if you want. هلا أما اليد والركبة وباطن القدم فلا يشترط أن تكون مكشوفة. It is not a condition for the hands, the knees, and the toes to be uncovered. It is a condition for the forehead to be uncovered, but not for the other parts. وقال بعض العلماء من خارج المذهب التنكيس ليس شرطا. Some scholars from outside the Shafi'i school said that having the lower part higher than the upper part in a sujood is not a condition for the validity of sujood. طالما يسمى سجودا, as long as what one is doing is called sujood. This is what they said. Other than, this is the school of Al-Imam Ahmad. This is what they say in the school of Al-Imam Ahmad. العاشر الطمأنينة فيه. The tenth integral is to have طمأنينة in a sujood, that is not to move for a moment, as long as saying Subhanallah. الحادي عشر الجلوس بين السجدتين. The 11th integral is to sit between the two prostrations. الثاني عشر الطمأنينة فيه. The 12th integral is to have tumanina in this sitting, not to move for a moment while sitting between the two sujood. الثالث عشر الجلوس للتشهد الأخير وما بعده من الصلاة على النبي والسلام. The 13th integral is to sit for saying the last tashahud, الصلاة على النبي, and the closing salam. شرح ذلك أن من أركان الصلاة الجلوس لقراءة التشهد الأخير وللصلاة على النبي وللسلام. فلو قام وذكر التشهد قائما لم يصح, أو لو ذكر التشهد قاعدا ثم قام فصلى على النبي قائما لم يصح, أو سلم قائما لم يصح, بل لا بد أن يكون ذلك من قعود. The 13th integral is to sit to recite at-tashahud, as-salah ala al-nabi and as-salam, the closing salam. Because if he stands and recites at-tashahud while standing, or as-salah ala al-nabi while standing, or saying as-salam while standing, then his prayer is not valid. This is not valid. So among the integrals is to sit to say that. وَالْجُلُوسِ يَصِحْ بِأَيَّةِ هَيْئَ كَانْ. It is enough to sit regardless of the way one sits. If one sits anyway one sits, this is valid, as long as it is considered sitting. الرابع عشر التشهد الأخير فيقول التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أو أقله وهو التحيات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله. The 14th integral is to say the last tashahud. There are several ways to say التشهد. هناك عدة صيغ للتشهد الأخير وكلها مروي عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. All those different ways the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام taught them to the companions. فيصح أن يقول الواحد أي صيغة منها. It is valid to say any one among those different ways. من جملتها الصيغة المذكورة هنا. Among them is the narration which is mentioned here. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هذه رواية مروية عن عبد الله بن عباس عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is the narration narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهي الرواية التي اختارها الشافعي. This is the narration that that الإمام الشافعي picked. When we say he picked it, it does not mean that he says saying another one is invalid. No. It means الشافعي said that he prefers that one says this one. But if he says any other one, which is narrated from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, then it is valid. So this is what picked means. وهناك تشهد آخر رواه عبد الله بن مسعود التحيات المباركات التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This other narration is narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa picked this one. Abu Hanifa اختار هذه الرواية ومالك اختار رواية أخرى ولا حرج. Al-Imam Malik chose a third one, picked a third one, and it is okay. One can say anyone among those narrations لأنها كلها مروية عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because all of them are narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. لكن في مذهب الشافعي لابد أن يقول واحدة منها. Now according to the Shafi'i school, one has to say one of those narrations. He cannot say, okay, I will not say anyone. After as-sujood, he sits and he says assalamu alaykum without reciting at-tashahud, it is invalid. He needs to recite at-tashahud. الخامس عشر الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأقلها اللهم صل على محمد. The 15th integral is to say As-salah ala al-Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The minimum is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. ليس المقصود أنه لا بد من هذا اللفظ لا بل يصح لو قال صلى الله على محمد بدل اللهم صل على محمد أو ما شابه ذلك. So saying الصلاة على النبي after التشهد is an integral in the prayer. Now the author said, one says at least Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He does not mean that this is the only term that can be used. No. One can say sallallahu ala Muhammad, and that would be valid. What the author meant is he can say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad and not continue until the end of at-tashahud. Yani without saying wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. He meant without saying this continuation. If one says only Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, this is valid. This is enough of the validity. السادس عشر السلام وأقله السلام عليكم. The 16th integral is to say the closing salam. The minimum is As-salamu alaykum. As-salam la budda minhu. Wa la yushtaratu taslimatun thaniya. Bal taslimatun wahida takfi wa thaniyatu sunnah. One needs to say as-salamu alaykum to close the prayer. It is not an integral to say it twice. Saying it one time is enough. The second time is sunnah. To say as-salam, the second time is sunnah. من شروطه الاتيان بأل في أوله فلا يكفي سلام عليكم بل لابد أن يقول السلام عليكم. Among the conditions is to say it السلام عليكم. It is not enough to say سلام عليكم. Or salamun alaykum. He has to start it with as-salamu alaykum, like that, with as-salamu alaykum. Some people do not do that. Some people, when they want to make as-salam, they say as-salamu alaykum. As-salamu, without as-salamu, salamu alaykum, as-salamu alaykum. This is how they say it. كذلك لا يكفي إبدال أن يقال السلام عليك بدل عليكم. Likewise, it is not enough to say السلام عليك instead of عليكم. ولا بد فيه من الموالاة بين كلمتيه أن لا يفصل بين الكلمة الأولى والثانية بفاصل طويل. One needs to say As-salamu alaykum in succession without separating the two words with a lengthy separation, without saying As-salam and then wait and then say alaykum. It does not work. This is invalid. ولا بد أن يكون مع إسماع نفسه على الأقل. One says that in a way that he hears himself at least. وأن يكون مستقبلا القبلة بصدره. He needs to be facing القبلة with his chest. لأنه ما زال في الصلاة. Because while saying السلام, he is still in the prayer. So he needs to keep facing al-qibla while saying it. فَإِنْ زَادَ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ كَانَ أَحْسَنَ. Now if one says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, if he adds wa rahmatullah, this is better, this is sunnah. But it is enough to say assalamu alaykum. The integral is to say assalamu alaykum one time. وبقي من الأركان الترتيب نتكلم فيه غدا إن شاء الله. What is left among the integrals is to observe the order. We'll talk about this tomorrow إن شاء الله تعالى. نقف الآن هنا. Let us stop here for now. الله أعلم. الله knows best. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, please go ahead. Go ahead, Muhammad.
If somebody doesn't know how to, like he cannot say something, a letter in Al-Fatiha properly, does this invalidate it?
If one what?
Is not able to say a letter in Al-Fatiha properly, does it invalidate Al-Fatiha?
If one is not able, why, Muhammad? Because he is lazy, he does not want to study how to recite it properly, or because he has an illness in his tongue or in his mouth that prevents him from reciting properly.
Yeah, an illness.
If he has an illness in his tongue that or in his mouth that prevents him from pronouncing the letters properly, then he does not recite any verse that contains that letter or those letters.
Okay.
Yani any verse that contains any letter among the letters that he is not able to pronounce, he does not recite it. Rather, he recites something else instead of this verse. So the verse that he does not recite it among the verses of Al-Fatiha, he recites another verse from Al-Quran in its place.
Okay.
If he is not able to do that, then he makes zikr in its place, in a way that the numbers of letters of that dhikr would not be less than the numbers of letters of that verse. Okay? Might have what?
Stuttering problem.
What's
like a person that stutters. That has like a speech that...
He can. Someone like that can pronounce the letter, can't he? He can pronounce the letter.
In some cases, I have seen certain individuals, one day they might say Bismillah correctly, and then the next day, you know, and it starts getting chaotic.
If for any reason, if for any illness, one cannot recite Al-Fatiha at all, then he says other dhikr.
So stuttering is an illness?
Hmm?
So the speech impediment, stuttering, is an illness?
The rule is like that. It applies to anyone that has an illness. If he cannot recite any one verse, and the same applies for two verses, three verses, four verses, all the verses, then he recites another verse from Al-Quran in its place. If he cannot, then he says dhikr in its place. If he cannot, then he remains silent for the period of time needed to recite that verse. So that applies.
والعصر جمع تقديم قصرا.
إيه.
وأثناء صلاة الظهر قدم صلاة العصر مسمعا نفسه، يعني لما أقام النية مسمعا نفسه.
حكي.
لا مش يعني قال أقدم العصر.
هو عم بيصلي؟
إيه ما بده يقدم العصر، يعني ما هو أسمع نفسه ليس في قلبه.
حكي. طبعا. تكلم. بطلت صلاته.
بطلت صلاته. النية في قلبه
هكذا. يلا جي
in sujood when the person puts his toes on the ground.
I can't hear you.
So in sujood when the person puts his toes on the ground and if long enough for the integral, but then afterwards he lifts both his feet in sujood, is that sujood still valid?
So he puts his forehead on the ground, mm-hmm. but he lifts his...
And he covers the integral of subhanAllah.
He covers what?
The integral of saying subhanAllah.
Okay, and then?
But then he lifts his feet up.
Then it is valid.
And the second one...
So if someone makes sujood, puts his forehead, he covers the integral of sujood, and then he lifts his toes. This does not invalidate the sujood because already he did it properly. Go ahead.
The second question. After the second rak'ah,
yes.
He is sunnah to sit down for the tashahud.
Okay.
But he starts to get up. But then before gets standing up straight, he sits down again, remembering it's tashahud. Does that invalidate the prayer?
Mm-hmm. Was he closer to standing up or closer to sitting?
Closer to standing up.
Then he does not get back to...
If he does, it breaks. Is it invalidates the prayer?
He does not get back to it. تفضل. بس قبل. تفضل حاج.
وكذلك
بنية
أنه صلاة خلصت.
ايه.
كذلك أنه كان بنية السلام على الملائكة. الإنس والجن أو...
الإمام ينوي بالسلام السلام على من خلفه من إنس وجن وملائكة، والمأموم ينوي رد السلام على الإمام. When the Imam says السلام عليكم, he can make the intention that he is making a salam to those people who are behind him, the jinn who are praying behind him, and the angels also. The follower says assalamu alaykum, he can make the intention of replying to the imam. تفضل محمد.
السلام عليكم. اذا امام كان يصلي فترك نسي سهي فلم يجلس للتشهد الثاني الاول فقام وبدأ بقراءة الفاتحة، لكن أحد المأمومين قال سبحان الله، يعني لينبه الإمام.
ذكره.
هذا الإمام رجع إلى التشهد الأول.
بعد القيام.
بعد القيام والتلبس بقراءة الفاتحة.
بطلت صلاته. If the Imam forgets to sit for the first tashahud, so he stands up. And after standing up, the ma'moom, he wasn't very close to the sitting. He stood up. One of the people, the followers, he said, Subhanallah.
هم حنفية المأمومين.
So the imam, because of that, the imam went back to sitting. This invalidates the prayer of the imam.
سؤال آخر، ممكن مثال على التشديد الغير مخل في المعنى في الفاتحة؟
تشديد؟
تشديد المخل.
تشديد مالكي مثلا، إذا قال مالكي يوم الدين. Stressing or doubling a letter which is not doubled is like saying مالكي يوم الدين instead of مالكي يوم الدين. It does not invalidate the prayer. محمد تفضل. بهاء. and then we'll get back there, inshallah.
إتماماً لهذا السؤال إذا رفع أحد رجليه عند السجود
نعم
ووضعهما على الأرض
أيه.
هل يعد هذا إدخال ركن زائد
لا. لا 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 يعد If someone is making sujood and after making sujood he lift up his feet and then put them again Would this be counted an extra rukun? Do you remember when we said if one makes an extra rukun, this invalidates the prayer? The answer is no. This is not counted like that. Okay.
بيتعجن.
إذا ما بيقدر ما بصح سجوده. ما بصح سجوده. Someone is wearing hard boots, so he cannot, in a sujood, his toes, he cannot put the inner parts of his toes because it's hard. He cannot, then he takes it off before praying. He needs to do that. It is not valid if he prays. While wearing it without putting the inner parts of his toes on the ground. ليس فيها تلك الحروف. ليس فيها الحروف التي يعجز عنها. فنفس عدد الأحرف على الأقل. بارك الله فيك. Yeah, go ahead. تفضلي.
Inshallah. If a person is in sujood and they are making dua, but the dua is not in Arabic, it's in English, does this invalidate the salah? Because I heard...
I will recheck this case, but what I would tell you to do is to make the dua in your heart.
Okay.
When you are in the sujood. If you don't know, if you don't memorize in Arabic, then make it in your heart.
Okay, now the dua. If you do know Arabic dua, and is it just any dua or is it specific dua?
Any dua. If you make any dua in a sujood, it is sunnah.
But in Arabic.
It is rewardable.
But in Arabic, right?
Inshallah. In Arabic. Other than Arabic, let me review it one more
okay.
time.
Inshallah. Barakallahu feek.
Tafaddali Umm Waleed. وين قال الحمد لله مش بعد البسملة
هو بالفاتحة
كان عم بيقول إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين عطس قال الحمد لله يعيد من الأول If someone was reciting الفاتحة so he was saying إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين then he coughs so he says الحمد لله he needs to repeat from the beginning because he introduced this dhikr which is not from Al-Fatiha. The If someone puts his forehead on something which is not comfortable, so he lifts his forehead and puts it in another spot, it's the question, is his prayer invalid according to all the sayings? You are getting tough on me. If a person bends their knees while making ruku', does it invalidate their prayer? No, it does not invalidate the prayer, but the ruku' is not valid. They need to straighten their legs for it to be valid. If they do that, then it is okay. If they do not, what? In Abu Qur. Yeah. What's your question? Go ahead. Yeah.
If it's not, you stated it's not valid. So if
the ruku' is not valid,
so
yes.
If the ruku' is not valid, that person never corrects their actual position. How is their prayer valid?
Huh?
If that person never corrects their position of the ruku'.
If they correct the.
Oh,
it doesn't say they didn't. I was saying if they did not correct the position, I was continuing. If they do not correct the position, then they missed a ruku' and by consequence, their prayer would not be valid. If the man stands when he was supposed to be sitting, what should he do instead of sitting? Khalas. If he stands intentionally after the finishing the fourth rak'ah, after lifting his head from the fourth the last sujood, if he stands intentionally instead of sitting, this invalidates his prayer. He is adding an extra integral of action, which is standing up. So this invalidates his prayer. If one says Astaghfirullah during the sujood, is it considered a dua? Yes, it is. This means, O Allah, forgive me. If one says Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu at the end of the prayer, is this valid? Yes, it is valid. Actually, it is narrated in one hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said once وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. He added وَبَرَكَاتُهُ in one salam. If a person prays obligatory prayers while he have to make up other obligatory prayers, is he sinful for doing the sunnah integrals while praying? No, he is not sinful for that. And does he get the reward of the sunnah integrals? Yes, he does. How does one get the inner parts of the toes? The pads of their toes touch the ground if they were wearing socks. Yani, it means for one's toes to be like that and put on the ground even with a barrier. Whether the barrier was socks or something else or they were uncovered. This is what it means. Yeah, I gave the answer of the second question. While in sujood, the person's entire arm from the fingers to the elbow is resting on the floor. What is the judgment? It is permissible, but it is disliked to do that. It is disliked when you make a sujood to put also the forearms on the ground. It is disliked to do that. The سؤال عند الإمام مالك ما عجب عليه شو This is a question according to the Maliki school. I will not answer, because it's something that I did not discuss. What if the Imam sneezed and said Alhamdulillah, and the follower said Yarhamukallah? This invalidates the prayer of the follower, because he is addressing the Imam with that. Yarhamuka means may Allah have mercy on you. So he's talking to him. This invalidates the prayer. If he says Allahumma arhamhu or Yarhamuhu Allah, which means may Allah have mercy on him, then this does not invalidate the prayer, because then it would be only dua without addressing another person, without talking with another person. If he says يَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ during reciting, while reciting Al-Fatiha, he needs to repeat it from the beginning, but it does not invalidate the prayer. If he says يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, this invalidates the prayer. If one sneezed in the middle of the Al-Fatiha and he says Alhamdulillah, does he have to start his Fatiha again? Yeah, we said yes. Except if he says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and then he sneezes, so he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen and he continues, then it works. Yani reciting Al Fatiha. إذا كان شخصين إن كان شخصان يجتهدان واجتهدا إلى اتجاه واحد في الصلاة من واضح السؤال من واضح اللي كتب هالسؤال يرجع يسألني لأنه ما عم بفهم. I can't understand the question properly. What if a person forgets often in prayer? Example, did I make ruku'? Did I sit? Did I make two sujood? What does he do? We will discuss this tomorrow, but in brief, inshallah, in brief, he acts as if he did not do what he is doubting about. So he goes back to do it. We will talk tomorrow in more details, inshallah. So if he lifts up from a ruku', he is saying Sami Allahu liman hamidah, and then he says he doubts, did I make ruku' or not? Then he goes back to a ruku', then he stands up. If someone makes dua before a salam, is there limitation? He can make dua as long as he wants. How long? As long as he wants. What if a mukallaf person makes prayer and their children didn't know that they are mukallaf? What does that mean? What if a mukallaf person makes prayer and what if a mukallaf person makes prayer and they did not know that they are mukallaf? if the prayer is valid, if there is nothing that invalidates it. If someone has back pain and cannot make the ruku' with his legs straight up, يعني مكلف, one is مكلف in more than one way. If one needs to take ghusl and he does not know that because he did not learn, then his prayer is invalid. If this is the question, if this is the meaning of the question. If someone has back pain and cannot make the ruku' with his legs straight up because it hurts them a lot, and they bend their legs more than a little bit, does that invalidate the ruku'? Is it still called ruku'? If it is still called ruku', it does not matter. It's okay. If the woman is praying and during the prayer accidentally if one strand of her hair is exposed in the prayer, it depends. Did this happen because of her action or not? If it happens because of her action, her movement, then her prayer is invalidated. If it happens because of something else like the wind and she covers it immediately, then her prayer is not invalidated. هل الكلام المباح خلال الوضوء مكروه وهل يؤثر على ثواب الصلاة؟ الكلام المباح خلال الوضوء ليس شيئا حسنا. It is disliked to talk while making wudu without other than الذكر. It is disliked. هل الإسراف بالماء عند الوضوء أو الغسل أي كراهية استعمال الماء الكثير؟ إذا أسرف الشخص بالماء, معنى الإسراف في الماء يعني أن يغسل وجهه, الماء الذي يستعمله في غسل وجهه في الوضوء وغسل يديه وغسل قدميه, أن يكون فوق الحاجة, أن يسرف فيه. ليس معنى الإسراف هنا أن يترك مثلا الحنفية مفتوحة والماء جاريا, إنما معنى الإسراف في الماء في الوضوء الماء المستعمل في غسل الأعضاء أن يسرف فيه. فإذا فعل كان ذلك مكروها. وهل يذهب ثواب صلاته أم لا؟ لا يذهب, يبقى له شيء من الثواب. If someone uses a lot of water, much more than what one needs for al-wudu, this is disliked. And this means that the water with which he washes his face, his hands, is much more than what he needs. It does not mean here to leave the faucet open. Sometimes you leave the water running for other purposes, maybe to clean the pipes or the like. Yes, but what is disliked, they say it is disliked, is to use a lot of water, much more than what you need to wash your face or your hands or your feet in al-wudu. In this case, it is disliked. Does this annihilate the reward of the prayer that one prays with such wudu? The answer is no. One still have a little bit of reward, some reward from that prayer. But his reward decreases, of course. إلا شك. Of course, this is if the water that one uses is other than the masjid water. If it is the water of al-masjid, it is haram to use more than one needs in the masjid water. If a person is unable to say a letter in the Fatiha, okay, I answered this question. If a person is unable to bend down for ruku', does this invalidate his prayer? No. He bends as far as he can. If he cannot, then he bows his head for a ruku'. Barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, I was planning to give you a quiz today. We don't have time. I don't know how you are managing to do this. Maybe tomorrow. ورد في الحديث هاي نصيحة حلوة. This is a nice advice. Someone wrote it. Okay. In the hadith, it is narrated that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, "At the beginning of the Maghrib time, do not let your children go outside. This is the time when al-jinn spread, so they might hurt them." The Prophet said, "After it becomes dark, really dark, then let them go out if you want, but not at the beginning of the Maghrib time." So, yani. Hey, pay attention to your children. Don't let them go out at the beginning of the Maghrib time, except after it becomes really dark. Barakallahu feekum. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيكم. الله يحفظكم.